But we started this series last week called Stand Firm. Pastor Andy kicked it off. He did a great job talking about how to stand firm in the midst of battles. What I want to talk about this morning is more of the idea of how do we stand firm in the face of a culture that is constantly pressuring us to conform to its ideas. Because I don't know about you, but I have found in our world today, it can be very difficult to faithfully follow Jesus, to live the way he asks us to live, to not compromise, to stand firm. I mean, in a world that devalues marriage, it can be very difficult to honor your marriage. In a world that is filled with sexual darkness, it's hard and difficult to remain sexually pure. In a world that promotes victimhood, it's difficult to raise your children to take personal responsibility. In a world that mocks leadership and talks down about whoever is in power and whatever power structure that is, work, politics, in your football team, it's hard to honor leadership in a world that mocks leadership. It's difficult to love your neighbor in a world that says hate anyone who doesn't look like you, think like you, live like you, or believe like you. In a world that is increasingly antagonistic to the Word of God and biblical values, it's very easy for us to give in, to bend a little bit, to say, I'm just trying to be culturally relevant. I just want to be tolerant and loving. It's real easy for us to fudge on the edges in wanting to be liked. The problem is, if we give in to those cultural pressures, we become more like the world and less like Jesus. And we're called to be more like Jesus every day as he transforms us from the inside out. So how do we do that? How do we resist the pressure, resist the influence of culture that wants us to compromise? So I want to look at a story from the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I know some people don't read the Old Testament a lot. I read it all the time. I'm an Old Testament junkie. I like the New Testament as well because it's like all Jesus all the time. But you see a lot of Jesus in the Old Testament as well. But I want to read a story, just a few verses from the life of David. Now, David, if you're familiar with him, he's the guy who fought Goliath. He was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. Saul was the current king. Eventually, Saul dies, and there's a civil war. Who's going to become the next king? But God had already decided, and so David becomes the next king. And now he's been king for a while, and there's been some battles. There's been some fights that have happened, and the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was not in the capital city of Jerusalem. It was out in the countryside. And at one point, David had wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem, and some things happened. And so it's just there. It's waiting. And he finally decides now's the time. So he goes and gets the ark. And that's where I want to pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 12. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there. I am going to ask, though, I'm going to read some other verses later, but would you stand and honor God's word as I read this morning? 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in 12. David went to bring up the ark of God to the city of David with rejoicing. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and with the sound of trumpets. It was a worship service. There are people who say worship is too loud. I don't think worship can be loud enough. Anyway, that's my opinion. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul. Now, it's very interesting. Michal, the daughter of Saul, is also David's wife, but she's not referred to as David's wife. Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. Everyone's worshiping. Everyone's involved. And she's standing apart, just watching. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. When David returned home, Michal came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." David replied, "I will celebrate before the Lord. This is what I'm made for. And he said, I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, to them I will be highly esteemed. I'll be held in honor. And from that day forward, it says, Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children until the day she died. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. And I'm asking that you would use this small little story in the life of David to open our understanding to what it means to live an uncompromising life. Because God, there are so much pressure that we find, that we hear, that's pushed against us to bow the knee, to bend, to compromise, to give in. But God, would we be willing to stand firm in the face of that pressure? Help us, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. It would have been simple for David to say, you know, Michal, you're right. I need to be a little bit more regal, kingly. I need to have a little bit more decorum. I know I kind of got carried away. It would have been so easy for David to say, it's unbecoming of me to act this way. See, what happens in our lives constantly is that the enemy of our faith, the devil, comes in and he whispers in our ear, just like Michal, you know, you look stupid. You're gonna look foolish. People are gonna think bad about you. If you continue to hold to these values, what are people gonna say? How are they gonna look at you? What are they gonna think about you? You know, they're gonna say stuff like, you're just being legalistic. They're gonna say things like, you're missing out on all the fun. They're gonna point out all the ways in which you don't need to live to that level of holiness. You can serve God, but you don't have to serve him with everything in you. Just serve him partway. Don't dance around half naked. I mean, that's foolish. Don't worship God with everything in you. Don't give back to God that 10%. Just kind of do God. And that's the pressure we all face. But we need to be like David. David says, hey, you can mock me. You can make fun of me. You can look down on me, but you can't keep me from worshiping my God. You can despise me, but you can't keep me from living a life that honors the Lord my God. He got to the point where David said, it doesn't matter what others say. It matters what God says. And that's how we all have to live. In order to live a life that resists compromise, here's what we need to remember. You can't let what people say about you cause you to compromise. People will say all manner of things about you. And the fact is, the more that you endeavor to live for the things of God, the more people are going to attack you. Because you're going to say, there are certain things I'm not going to do. There are certain things I'm going to do. And as a result of those, people will begin to attack you. You know, you're missing out. There's no fun. You're not who you used to be. I don't know why you want to go there. But there are things you're just going to say, I can't do that. I can't say certain things. I can't go certain places. I can't watch certain things. I can't listen to certain music. There are things I won't participate in. There are places I won't go. There are things I won't inject, or smoke, or drink. It's amazing to me. Listen, I do not believe, let me be very clear, I do not believe there's a biblical prohibition against the consumption of alcohol. Okay, I'm not saying it's a sin for Christians to drink. I'm saying if you look in our modern age, alcohol has caused more problems than benefits. There are marriages that have been ripped apart, people that have been killed in drunk driving accidents. There are fortunes that have been wasted. And we argue, is it biblically okay for me to drink? That's not the issue. Is it the wise thing to do? We're going to talk about that. Listen, sometimes it's not about can you do it, it's should you do it. God gives us a lot of freedom. Okay, I'm going to say this. This is not in my notes. I'm probably going to get some hate mail, but that's fine. There are things God doesn't want us to do, but God gives us the choice. God, I believe God is pro-choice. Now, not in the classic sense, but right, God doesn't just say, if you do this, I'm gonna just squish you like a bug. He says, you have the freedom to do a lot of things. You're just gonna have to deal with the consequences of them. So we're constantly trying to figure out what can I do, can't do. What we need to say is, if I do this, is it gonna honor God? And so we're gonna have all these voices of culture in the world around us that scream in our ears, don't do this, you look stupid, you're gonna miss out. Just compromise a little bit. Do what everybody else is doing. Michael's like, David, everybody's gonna make fun of you. David's like, I don't care if anybody makes fun of me. It doesn't matter. See, if we want to be those people that resist the temptation to compromise, that resist the pressures to compromise, we have to realize this, that we have to live with conviction in a culture of compromise. You have to get to the point where you say, my conviction, who God asks me to be, how he asks me to live, is what is going to guide my life. But when those whispers start coming, you look stupid. You know, you say you're going to live by these convictions, but you know you're really just a hypocrite. You're not all that. You mess up all the time. You know, you say that you're not going to do certain things, but then sometimes you do those. So you've already messed up anyway, so you might as well just, you know, you're in for a pound, go in for the whole deal. Like, I mean, what's the big deal at this point, right? What's the old saying, in for a penny, in for a pound? Like, just go all the way. Who cares? I mean, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to look at certain things, but I started looking, so I might as well just look all night long. And then grace comes in the morning. No, at some point you got to go, I'm going to live by these convictions. But all those whispers come into our ears. And what happens is it's an attack on our identity, how we see ourselves, that we're not really who we say we are. We're not who we want to be. And so then we compromise. But when those whispers start coming, you're going to look stupid. You really distinguished yourself there, didn't you? You really looked good in that moment. What you need to do is remind yourself of what God says about you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. In God, you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You are an overcomer in Christ. You're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You got to remind yourself that I'm a Bible-believing, blood-bought, spirit-filled child of the living God. And if I look a little foolish because I'm living for him, then so be it. You can call me foolish all you want. You could say I'm ridiculous. You could say, why would you live like that? And I'll say to you, listen, the words of David are the key. What does he say? I'll become even more undignified than this. And you think this has been silly? You think this makes me look stupid? Just wait till you see what I'm going to do next. And if it causes me to be humiliated in my own eyes, I don't care. I don't care about my status as king. I care about God's name being lifted up. I don't care about what people say about me. I care that people realize that there's a God in heaven who's worthy of our praise, and I will worship him with everything in me. I'll leap and I'll dance for joy. And some of us are so worried that if I bring my Bible to work and read it during lunch, what are people going to say? And David says, I'll become even more undignified. I'm not just going to read my Bible at work during lunch. I'm going to quote the Bible every time I talk to somebody. They start cursing, I start quoting. They start getting mad, I start singing praise. They start acting the fool, I just say, you know, you can act like a fool in the world. I'm going to act like a fool for God. We have to get to the point where we say there are things, I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Because what happens is a world of compromise says give into, strive for the acceptance of people. David could have said, listen, I want my wife to admire me. I mean, she was the daughter of a king. She understood what it meant to be in the royal palace. David's new to all this. You're right. I need to look good. I want people to think well of me. So she says, the slave girls of your servants. Now we read that and we're confused by the language. Because the servants are, in that time, the servants would have referred to the leaders within the kingdom, the elders, those of high esteem, right? They would be considered the servants of the king. It's their slaves. So it's like, listen, everyone's going to be looking down at you. Those in high authority and those in low. And David says, listen to me, I don't care. I don't care. I will humiliate myself. I'll become more undignified. It doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, Michael, what's going to happen is this. If I am willing to look foolish for God, there will be those who still highly esteem me. It's just not going to be the ones that you think matter. You think the ones that matter are way up here. And David says, listen, the slave girls will be like, that's what it means to live for God. That's what it means. There will be those around you when you don't compromise. There will be those that mock you. There'll be those that ridicule you. But you have to realize there'll be those around you who will be inspired by you. You just might not hear it. What we tend to do is hear the loudest voice. But Paul, writing to Christians in Galatia, says this. He says, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. At some point, we have to say, it doesn't matter what people think of me. I care what God says about me. That's what's most important. Now, what's most important is God's opinion. That means I want his family, the family of Christ, to look and say, I'm inspired by that person. I'm inspired by their boldness. I'm inspired by their testimony. I'm inspired by their consistency. But you can't worry about what the world says about you. If the world speaks highly of you, it's probably because you're compromising. It's probably because you're wanting to fit in. And David says, I'm not going to try and fit in. It doesn't matter to me. But what it means, in order to do that, it means you need to decide ahead of time what it is you're going to do, how it is you're going to live. You have to predetermine some things. So how do you do that? Well, there's a couple ways you can approach it. One is you ask yourself, in light of my past experiences, and everyone's past experiences are different, I know what I've been through, I know what I've experienced, I know all the hardships I've walked through, I know my successes, I know my failures, I know my strengths, and I know my weaknesses. In light of my past experiences, my current reality, where am I in life at this moment? What's happening in the world around me? What's my age? What's my earning capacity? What's my educational level? What is my current reality? In light of my past experiences, my current reality, and my future hopes and dreams, where do I want to be? What's God calling me to? Where's he leading me? In light of those things, is this the wise thing to do? I'm going to decide based on that. Before I'm in that moment, what am I going to do? What am I going to not do? When you're in the heat of the moment, it's very difficult to ask those three questions. So we just respond emotionally. I don't want to look stupid. I want to fit in. I want to do what everyone else is doing. But if you've predetermined, if you've thought about those things ahead of time, all of a sudden it informs your decisions. Or you can look at it like this. You say, that doesn't sound real spiritual. Okay. In light of God's word and his instructions, and what his word clearly teaches, based on my own weaknesses, my own struggles, the things that I know I don't have the character to stand up against, I won't be able to bear up under those temptations. Based on God's word, my own struggles and weaknesses, my own character, and based on God's leading, calling, guiding, direction, where the Holy Spirit is leading me to, what's his plan and purpose for my life? Should I or should I not make certain decisions? So you pre-decide that. What does that mean? You predetermine. Before you do this, you don't wake up in the morning and go, should I read the Bible today? You predetermine every day. The first thing I'm going to do after I drink a cup of coffee and brush my teeth, I'm going to spend some time in God's presence, reading his word, praying, worshiping him. I'm going to do that every day. I predetermined that my family, every Sunday, unless we're on vacation, we're going to church together. Before travel ball, I know I just stepped on a bunch of toes. None of you here because you're here. But those of you who are watching this on Wednesday, and you're like, I wasn't at church because of travel ball. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You know, before travel ball, before extracurricular activities, recreation, before, well, we just need a down mental day. Listen, we gather together as a family of God to get into his presence. I need a down day? This is supposed to lift you up. We're gonna be at church because it's important. We wanna be in that space to not only be encouraged, but to encourage others. You have to pre-decide those things. You gotta predetermine. Hey, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tithe to God 10% of what he gives to me. I'm gonna bring back to God. I'm not giving it to God. I'm bringing back to God because he's given it all to you. As believers of Christ, that's what we hold, that everything comes from God. He's our source. So I'm going to give back to him. I'm going to bring back to him 10% of my increase to God through the local church. It's called the tithe. I'm going to pre-decide that. I'm going to predetermine that. I'm not going to wait and look at my paycheck and look at my bills and say, can I or can I? Is this affordable? Is it not affordable? I don't need to pray about it. I don't need to think about it. But in light of my past experiences, my current reality, my future hopes and dreams, based on what God's word says, my own struggles, and what I hope, my purpose and calling, I'm going to set those things up ahead of time. There are certain places I'm not going to go. There are certain things I'm not going to watch. I am not going to allow myself to be in certain situations. Not because of a legalistic standpoint, but because this is how I want to orient my life. I'm not going to break my commitments. I'm not going to be the person that joins in the gossip at work, the complaining spirit, and the cutting corners just because everyone else does. I hope they see me stand out and say, you're such a fool. You put everything in the system the way it's supposed to be, and you stay late, and they don't pay you extra, and you do all those things. You're a fool. They don't care about you. Yep, and I'll be more dignified than this. I don't care. I'll be so undignified that you can make fun of me, but I am not working for them and their approval. I'm working for God and his. And yet we compromise and give in and just tweak a little bit here and a little bit there. We have to decide who are we living for. See, when we live like that, our lives begin to be marked and shaped and seen in a different light. David didn't say to Michael, you're wrong. You shouldn't live like that. You should be out here worshiping with me. David didn't say that. David didn't post on social media, I just can't stand this world and all the things of this world and it's so hard and God, I just wish you'd smite them all. David didn't say that. David didn't rail against her. David said, you can live how you want to live. I want to model for you what it means to live an undignified life, an uncompromising life. Now, here's the sad thing. David understood this, and yet later in his life, we see where he compromised his sexual integrity. But yet even in that, if you go, we're not going to get into that part of his life, but even in that, when he sought God's grace and forgiveness, he sought it not just, I'm sorry I got caught, please forgive me so I feel better. He was on his face in tears with a heart of repentance, which is a huge difference of just saying, God, forgive me. He says, I want to be different. Make me back to who I was. Restore to me that joy of your salvation. Renew that spirit in me that had that unbending, uncompromising, that willingness to stand no matter what people said. God, bring that back to me. That's who I want to be. That's who you've created me to be. Make it fresh and new in me. But David doesn't tell Michael, he says, I just want to model for you what it looks like to be undignified. To live a life that doesn't compromise. And it marked his life. It marked everything about him. So much so that in the New Testament, there is a quote that God says about David that only part of it is found in the Old Testament. So God said more about David in the New Testament than it did in the Old. And here it is. God testified concerning him, meaning David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And here it is. He will do everything I want him to do. A man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. His life will be so marked. He will be so undignified. He will look so different than anyone around him because he is going to follow me. He's going to pursue me. He's after my heart. And he'll do the things I ask him to do. Perfectly? No. But he's going to do them. That's what our lives ought to stand out. Our lives ought to have this mark about them that we are so undignified. We are so concerned about honoring God, about extolling his name, about worshiping him, about living a life of worship. That's what we're called to do everywhere we go. We ought to be dancing and singing. I don't mean necessarily literally, but we ought to be. I have praise music playing all the time. I know it drives people crazy, and that's fine. I mean, I'll be working it somewhere. I'll just have it blasting. People walking by the door, they have to hear it. I'll be more undignified. I don't care. Sometimes they hear me singing. I really feel bad for them in those moments. Right? We got to get to that point where we say, everywhere I go, it's just an attitude of praise and worship to my God. I don't care if I'm humiliated in my own eyes. I care about what God says. See, you're meant to stand out because you live different. Just like David, you're meant to stand out because you live different. You live different than the world around you. You live differently than culture. You live differently than society. You say, I won't do certain things. I won't go certain places. I'm not going to participate. I'm going to miss out. Yeah, you might. You might miss out on a lot of stuff, but does it matter? See, when we have that mark about us, it influences and changes things around us. So what happens is we begin to live a certain way. We become undignified in the eyes of the world. But we would say, I'd rather be undignified in the eyes of the world and lift up and dignify the name of my God. So if we're undignified in the eyes of the world, it doesn't matter. When we do that, what happens is lives around us, things around us begin to shift. They're impacted by the life that we live because we live different. So here's David. David says, God's ark, the ark of the covenant, that thing that represented God's presence is coming into the capital city. And I will dance and I will sing and I will leap and I will worship God with everything in me until sweat's dripping off my forehead. I don't care. I'll sing loud. And if you think I'm loud, I'm going to get louder. If you think the trumpet, I could just see him going, blow the trumpets louder, boys. Hit those tambourines a little bit harder. Let's make some noise up in here. And he's worshiping and people are despising him. And he says, I don't care. And what happens? Michael, it says, never has children till the day she dies. I know I'm not saying that's a punishment. I doesn't say that. It just adds that as a statement. But could it be that those who despise a heart that's uncompromising, there's a sense in which you kind of wither and die inside because you're bitter and angry because she sees David doing that which she knows her father should have done. She sees David doing that which she knows he should have done. And instead of saying, I'm okay, I had the wrong heart, I had the wrong attitude, but here comes the ark and here comes the praise and here comes the worship and I'm gonna run outside and I'm gonna join in. She allows her heart to despise her husband and something dies inside of her. And there will be those who are followers of Christ who compromise, who say, I won't allow myself to look quite that stupid. I don't want to look that foolish. I don't want to miss out. I just want to do what the world does and just kind of get in the back door. And there's a gift, or there's a calling, or there's an anointing on your life. And God has placed a dream inside of you. And I'm telling you, there is a way in which that can wither up and die because you've compromised. But what does it say about David? As soon as this story ends, the next verse in chapter 7, verse 1 says this. After this, David settled in his palace, and the Lord gave him rest from all his enemies. When you live a life that stands out, that's marked by a life that doesn't compromise, all of a sudden, God brings peace. God brings rest. God brings a time of settledness. God brings blessings. God brings things into you. It didn't last forever. But I'm telling you, when you don't compromise, your life impacts the lives of those around you. And so many of us miss out on those moments. See, our lives, you have no idea. If you don't compromise, it may reach the heart of that loved one because you don't compromise. When you don't compromise, it can change the trajectory of your business because you don't compromise. Well, it's just a contract. We can just lie about it. We can cut corners. It's not a big deal. And you do, and you make a little bit more profit on that business, on that deal, on that one opportunity. But you have no idea if you had walked in integrity what God had lined up for you. It'd have been 10 times, 100 times more what you got by compromising. You have no idea if you don't compromise what it might mean for the future of your marriage and your family. But it's hard and it's difficult and there's stress right now and there's not a lot of intimacy. And he's kind of pulled away and she kind of is cold towards me. But man, he gives me all the attention I ever wanted and she's telling me just how wonderful I am. Nobody's ever told me that. But if you won't compromise in those moments, you have no idea what 50 years down the road, the testimony that you'll have, the things that your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will rise up and call you blessed. We have to realize not compromising impacts so many other people beyond just ourselves. So what does all this mean? It means being uncompromising means being undignified. At some point, we have to say, I'm willing to be undignified. It's what baptism is all about. If you haven't signed up to be baptized and you haven't been baptized since you're a follower of Christ, do it. It's coming up in a couple weeks. Think about it. Come into a church and jump into a pool so we can dunk you. It kind of looks dumb. I mean, honestly, it's a little bit undignified. You know, show up, wear your shorts. You got the pale chicken legs. You get in there. It's like, yeah, I'm going in here. From all human perspective, it's undignified. Like, why do I need to do that? Why didn't you do it in front of people? Like, can't I just do it in my bathroom? I mean, I take a shower every day. I baptize myself, right? It looks silly. But when we walk in obedience, I won't compromise. And if people say, why would you do that? I say, hey, you know what? You haven't seen anything yet. Because when I come up out of the water of baptism, if you think that's undignified, you just wait until I fist bump and I throw water all over those pagans that are out there cheering me on. And I'm going to baptize you at the same time. And I'm going to get a little more undignified because I don't want just to have a picture in a moment. I want it to be a life change that everything about me says this man, this woman will not compromise. There is something that's happened inside of them. And if I look a little more undignified, if I look humiliated in the eyes of people, I don't care. It's what God says about me. It's what his church, the bride of Christ, says about me. Those are the only things that matter. And so I don't care if I look a little undignified. But we have to get to that point where we say, everything in me will worship my God. That is the key. When the pressure comes to compromise and you've pre-decided, you've predetermined what it is you're going to do and not do based on your current reality, based on your past experiences, your future hopes and dreams, based on God's word, your own character and his calling. You've looked at all those things. You've made those decisions. And then in that moment, the pressure's on. Why are you doing this? You're going to look stupid. That's not the moment to pray. Say, God, should I or shouldn't I? That's not the moment where you say, well, maybe I missed something here. No, at that moment, you do what David did and worship your fool head off. Just say, God, I'm going to worship you. Everything in me wants to click on that website, but I'm going to put praise music on Spotify. It's real hard to look at porn when you're worshiping God. I mean, Jesus, I love you. I'm just worshiping God while you're, you know, it doesn't work. You know, that woman's just like, come on, let's just go. Just take me home. Take me to the parking lot. Take me back to my apartment. And you say, hold on a second. I got to put something on the radio. I've got a reason to praise, And you just start worshiping. Say, now you want to go back and have a worship night? Because that's all we're going to do. And she'll say, ah, see ya. Swipe left. What is? I don't know. Some, one of those. Hey, we got to get to that point where we say, when those moments come, that's when I praise the most. And if I look undignified, that's fine. I'd rather be undignified than to compromise. If you want to be uncompromising, you have to be willing to be undignified. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I ask that you would help us by your grace to live like this. It may look foolish, it may look weird, it may look strange, but God, I pray that we would learn to worship you, the God who's on the throne, the God who's over all things, the God who loves us and leads us and guides us by his word. God, that our lives wouldn't compromise, and even if it means being undignified, God, we would do it. So that it would change our future, our marriages, our families, our businesses. God, that we could step into all that you've called us to do so that instead of seeing something die and wither that you had for us, God, it would come to life, it would be birthed, it would flourish, it would live. God, that we would walk in all that you have for us. But we can only do that if we don't compromise. If you would say this morning, I want to be an uncompromising person, I'm just going to ask you right where you are, stand to your feet. If you want to compromise, keep sitting. I'm pretty much hoping everyone stands. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to end with a little bit of worship. A couple songs. First one is High Energy. Now, here's my challenge to you. What can you do that looks a little undignified this morning? For some of you, I mean, this is worship. So undignified to you might be this. Go for it. For some of you, it might be singing out loud because it's always just like, so, you know, let someone hear you. You say, my voice is terrible. Listen, it can't be worse than mine. I sit in the front and I yell so nobody has to hear it except the worship team. Whatever it is, you know, lift your hands, worship God. If you want to come up to the front and just be in his presence up at the altar, it's going to be open. But do something that says, you know what, God, I'm going to worship you and I don't care what anyone says. Because if you can't live undignified here within the family of God, within his church, when you're surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ, how will you do it when the pressure of the world is bearing down on you, saying compromise, compromise, compromise? So let's get a little undignified this morning.